A quick note, this episode has some swear words in it.
You sound like such a dork when you say swear words.
Okay, well, fuck you. It's the summer of 2015, somewhere in Manhattan, and the Murdoch brothers, Lachlan and James, are out to lunch with the president of 21st Century Fox. The movie studio is one of the jewels in the Murdoch crown. They've had hits like Avatar and the X-Men franchise.
Good franchise.
Yeah. James is feeling pretty good. The phone hacking scandal practically forced him out of London, but he made a new start in New York. And it's been going great. He's an executive at 21st Century Fox, and he's closed some big deals. And 2 years ago, his dad made James a big promise. Liz is off running her own company. Lachlan is down in Australia doing God knows what. James has stayed by his dad's side. And now, Rupert's going to reward him. James is next in line to run the empire. James is looking good, too. He's in his early 40s, but he looks 10 years younger. The bleach blonde hair is gone, replaced by a more conservative cut and fashionable tortoise shell frames.
So the youngest kid is now first in line for succession? How did that happen?
I mean, it makes sense. James may be the youngest, but he's worked his butt off. At least that's how he sees it. He took one for the team in the hacking scandal. He's moved his family all over the world to help build the company, pretty much wherever his dad needs him. Unlike his Yahoo brother, James knows what it's like to live in the trenches. But now they're at lunch together, and Lachlan knows something James doesn't.
You mean like Rupert's MySpace password?
You know, we actually totally skipped over how Rupert wasted like $500 million buying MySpace in the mid-2000s.
Wait, what? Did he really do?
Yeah.
And what about Tom?
I don't know, but I do know that Prue was not in his top eight.
Wow, you just had that locked and loaded.
I did. So, as they cut into their caviar-topped chef salads or whatever rich people eat at lunch, Lachlan casually shares some news. I'm moving back to the U.S. to take over the business. Dad's all for it. In fact, now you're going to report to me.
Oh boy, I can only imagine James's face in that moment.
Yeah, turns out Rupert changed his mind about the promise he made to James about letting him run the show, and he didn't bother to let James know.
Ugh, that has gotta hurt.
Yeah.
If I were James, I would order everything on the menu to go.
Charge it to the company card.
Charge it to the company card, and then burn all of my dad's ink-stained suits.
Well, James does completely lose it. The way he sees it, Lachlan had his chance and he quit. And while James was taking fire in London, his big bro was goofing off in Australia. He can't just come strolling back 10 years later and steal James's job.
Check, please.
James storms out of the restaurant, heads straight to the airport, and jumps on a flight to Indonesia.
Why Indonesia?
I don't know. Maybe because it's the only country left where News Corp doesn't own a TV station or newspaper.
Ugh, must be so nice there.
Yeah. He's going on a long, long vacation and vows to never work for his dad again. He is done with his family.
Yeah, but is he really, though?
Of course not. The thing about the Murdoch kids is no matter how many times they yell, I quit, and fuck off to Indonesia, they just can't stay away. From Wondery, I'm Brooke Ziffrin.
And I'm Arisha Skidmore-Williams.
And this is Even the Rich. In our last episode, Rupert battled criminal allegations, public outrage, and Tony Blair's good looks. Now, in the final episode of our four-part series on the real-life succession story, Rupert is finally ready to stand down as the world's most powerful media tycoon.
Ooh, so exciting. So who will win the Game of Thrones?
I'm not telling you yet.
God damn it.
This is episode 4, A House Divided.
It feels like everything is coming to a head. How old is Rupert at this point?
So it's 2015 and he's 84, an octogenarian, as they say. But he's healthy and he's working as hard as ever, which is kind of amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're Rupert Murdoch in the mid-2010s, life is good. You've come a long way from that one newspaper in Australia. Fox News is the top-rated cable news channel in the U.S., The Fox movie and TV studios make some of the biggest movies and TV shows in the universe. You own the New York Post, the Wall Street Journal, and HarperCollins, and you're worth an estimated $13.9 billion.
Okay, I would love for that to be my life.
Yeah.
And I'll even settle for $1 billion.
Yeah.
You can take 12.9 away.
You're not greedy.
No, I'm not. Thank you.
Rupert also owns 30% stake in Hulu.
Oh,
and he's been dabbling in real estate and wine.
Who hasn't?
A few years ago, Rupert split his company in two. News Corp focuses on the publishing side, and Fox handles movies and TV. And both are firing on all cylinders.
And he's decided he's going to leave all of that to Lachlan now?
Not exactly. He thinks he still has plenty of time. And he's not the only one. There's a story that an editor at one of Rupert's papers goes to his boss and says something like, "Hey, Rupert's getting up in years. We should probably pre-write his obituary just so we have it on file when the time comes." And the boss says, "Rupert is not going to die." The editor asks, "In the event that he does?" And the boss repeats, "Rupert is not going to die." So Rupert certainly seems to believe that he's going to live forever. Even almost a decade earlier, back when Rupert was a youthful 76 years old, the executives under him tried to nail down a plan for what would happen to the company when Rupert died. They wanted him to sign off on a 10-year plan, but he refused. So they were like, "Okay, how about a 20-year plan?" Rupert's like, "Nah, I'm good." They finally get him to agree to a 30-year plan.
30-year plans? So he'd be like, what, 106?
Maybe he thinks if he waits long enough, he'll be able to download his brain into a droid.
It's not a crazy idea.
It's not. All right. So let's go back to 2015. Rupert's just convinced Lachlan to move to New York with the promise that he can be James's boss. But now Rupert's having second thoughts. He must not have expected James to react the way he did, running off to Indonesia, threatening to quit. It looks like he pushed James a little too far. So he asks Lachlan what he thinks they should do to keep James from leaving the fold. Together, they come up with a compromise. The brothers will share the top job.
Wow, that's big of Lachlan. I wonder what that would look like. Like, Lachlan gets to sign all the payroll and James gets to plan all the work parties?
Yeah, I mean,
that's all bosses do, right?
I don't know. I'll never know.
That and hold meetings that easily yeah. could be emails.
Right. So remember how Rupert split up his companies a few years back?
Yeah.
Well, it comes in handy now.
One company for each son.
Exactly. He announces that James will be the chief executive of 21st Century Fox, and Lachlan will be the non-executive co-chairman of News Corp and 21st Century Fox. It's actually a pretty good deal for Rupert himself. He's staying on as executive chairman of both companies. Both of them will report to him. Clearly, he's not ready to give up his power to either of them. But he has carefully thought it all through so everything looks fair and equal to the boys. They'll get the same salary, $20 million a year, and all the same perks, including access to the company's fleet of private planes. All the companies in the empire will report jointly to both of them, which isn't going to be easy for anyone. Lachlan and James have completely different visions for the company.
I picture it like when you have your parents and you know which parent to go to for whatever
for
you want
things.
Permission for.
Yeah.
And they're like, "Oh, I really want to be able to take the company jet to an island this weekend. Let me ask Lachlan." Or, "Shoot, I really want to have off every Friday. Let me ask James."
Right. Yeah. So James is kind of an idealist. He wants to bring the company into the future. He wants the company to diversify by investing in new brands and technologies. According to the New York Times, he wants to change the image of the Murdoch empire so that it's no longer viewed as a company defined by a single product, meaning Fox News. He'd be happy if they weren't thought of as political at all.
Smart.
Yeah. Lachlan's vision is completely different. He thinks Fox News is their greatest asset. So what if the views expressed on the network are controversial? They're making money and the audience is happy. Why mess with a good thing? The brothers are like two sides of a coin. But only one of them can win the role of king of the empire. And of course, Rupert knows all this, and he needs them both. So to keep the peace, he keeps them apart. James stays in New York, and Lachlan goes to work on the Fox Studios lot in LA. A few months after Rupert makes his announcement, the two brothers sit down for an interview with the Hollywood Reporter at the Fox Studio lot. And it's well, weird.
Ooh, do tell.
It's October 2015, and it's almost 90 degrees in Los Angeles. But you'd never know it at the air-conditioned offices at Fox Studios lot. Lachlan and James look cool as cucumbers as they enter the fifth-floor executive offices. Waiting for them is reporter Matt Bellany from Hollywood Reporter. It's going to be their first interview since their new roles were leaked to the press. As they sit down and roll up their sleeves, literally, they roll up their sleeves, and it turns out they both have tattoos.
Ooh, of what?
Lachlan has a tribal motif, and James has a light bulb.
A light bulb?
I think it's a light bulb. Or one of those round wooden helms you see on ships, maybe? Although that would be odd.
Anyway. I mean, a light bulb is odd, too. That's such a weird...
I don't know. I kind of
like
it.
Is it supposed to be like I'm... I came
He's
up
the
with...
idea guy.
Okay.
Well. I don't know. Anyway, they tell Bellany that no question is off limits. It's clear from the start that they're putting their best faces forward and working very hard to get along. Bellany eases them in with some small talk. Both brothers say they aren't on social media. James says one of his favorite shows is Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Wow, this interview is riveting so far.
Well, and then they get into the good stuff. The reporter asks James if he has more power because he's the CEO. James says, no, they do it together. Lachlan agrees. Everyone reports to both of us equally. We make decisions together.
That's the good stuff?
Well, Bellany doesn't give up. He keeps coming at them from different angles, which leads to a super awkward conversation.
The good stuff.
About who would win in a fight.
Oh my God.
Bellany says he talked to insiders who say they don't get along at board meetings, that they bicker. And James is like, not true. We don't bicker. And Lachlan chimes in, I don't think we ever disagree.
Oh, please.
Right.
They're siblings. All they ever do is disagree.
Yeah. That's exactly what the reporter says. He says, oh, please, you're brothers, which trips James up a little bit. So he changes his answer. They don't disagree about the business. But as kids, they used to fight like cats in a bag.
Here's the thing. I have two brothers and we're all adults now. And I can tell you our fighting has not changed one bit
you guys
since
are,
we grew up.
You're still fighting like cats in bags?
Yeah. Can't get out of that bag.
James's comment triggers something in Lachlan. He says, I always won, which was good. And now it's on. James is like, I'm not so sure. And Lachlan says, I was bigger back then. And James goes, yeah, exactly. Not anymore.
I'm picturing both of them looking at the ceiling with their arms folded.
Imagine if they kept going, though. Like if they just ripped off their shirts and just went after each other right then and there.
I'm picturing one of those cartoon fights, you know, like Putty Tad and Tweety Bird with dirt and feathers flying everywhere.
Who do you think would win?
James, for sure. Mm. I mean, he's the youngest and has more to prove. Mm-hmm. Plus, he's pissed that Lachlan was having fun while he was being humiliated by the press over that hacking scandal.
Yeah, but I don't think Lachlan could ever let that happen. He's always had the upper hand.
Ow, ow, Lachlan, cut it out. That hurts.
Say it.
Say what?
You know what? Say it.
Okay, okay. Your dad's favorite.
Louder.
Your dad's favorite.
And the reporter's just sitting there thinking, why couldn't I have interviewed Liz instead? Wow, that was exhausting.
I know, right? I'm so glad we're not boys.
You know what? When I was researching this, I did find one story where they tried to come together over one of Rupert's houses. It was this huge 8,000 square foot mansion in Beverly Hills with 11 bedrooms, 9 bathrooms, formal gardens, blah, blah, blah.
So like a generic rich person's house.
Yeah. Going for a rich people price. $35 million.
Ooh.
Lachlan and James lived there sometimes when they were kids, and the house came with all the furnishings they remembered. So they were understandably upset when they found out not only had their dad put the house on the market, but he already had an offer from Leonardo DiCaprio. And that's when the brothers get the idea. They'll buy it together and whoever was in town could use it. But then James goes behind Lachlan's back and buys the house himself.
I told you he's the scrappy one.
And making his father proud, Rupert even cuts $5 million off the list price and lets him have it for $30.
Wow, what a steal.
Not really. It actually ends up costing James more than $5 million to fix all the broken things. And it didn't have any furniture because Rupert gave most of the furniture to Lachlan to make up for selling the house to his brother.
Oh my gosh.
You kind of see how Rupert robs Peter to pay Paul and somehow comes out unscathed because the boys turn on each other. Mm-hmm. A couple years later, they'll be at it again when Rupert announces that it's time to go bigger.
Jeez, they already own pretty much everything.
Not everything. The networks are getting hammered by streaming companies like Netflix and Amazon. And Rupert wants to make sure his companies stay relevant. So he starts looking at Sky, which is formerly BSkyB. It's the largest pay TV provider in Europe, and Rupert owns 39%. Even at that percentage, Sky brings in three times the revenue of Fox News. Now he wants the whole thing. To buy Sky is smart business, but for James, it's personal too. He tried to buy Sky a few years back, but then the phone hacking scandal broke and the deal fell apart. Here's a chance at redemption. He's already chairman, so he figures there's no one better to make the deal. If he can pull it off, he'll be the family hero. Of course, Lachlan thinks it's a bad idea to send James. They should pick someone without his baggage.
Like himself.
Like anyone but James. But in the end, it's up to Rupert who makes the deal and who gets the glory. Now, deals like this are complicated, but basically there are two parts. First, James has to convince Sky's owner to let go of the company. That's the easy part. He's just got to offer them so much money, they'd be crazy to say no.
How much are we talking?
Around $14 billion.
Oh, so chump change.
Yeah. And then comes the hard part. He's going to have to convince the UK government that letting the Murdochs buy Sky is a good idea. But UK regulators aren't so sure. The phone hacking scandal is still fresh in the public's mind. Plus, if the Murdochs are allowed to buy Sky, it'll give them an insane amount of power over the media landscape in the UK, which is the whole point of having government regulators in the first place, so stuff like that doesn't happen. So they decide to take their time, monitor Rupert and his businesses closely. Then they'll make their decision. In the meantime, James and Lachlan better make damn well sure that nothing goes wrong.
Ugh, I'm biting my nails.
That's a bad habit. You should stop.
I meant metaphorically. Okay. My nails are getting very long thanks to this quarantine.
Oh, God. Don't start a protest.
No, like, I take care of them. I'm just saying they grow a lot because I'm not doing as much. Anyway, we're way off topic.
On the morning of July 6th in 2016, James and Lachlan are in Sun Valley, Idaho for another one of those Allen & Company conferences.
Is that the summer camp for billionaires we talked about in the last episode?
That's the one. The boys are each doing their own thing this morning. James is out on a hike. Lachlan just finished up a workout at the YMCA.
Stars are just like us.
They really, really are.
Except we don't go on hikes or work out at the YMCA. Although I did belong to the YMCA for like a month.
That doesn't surprise me.
Thank you.
He tells off and calls an exec at Fox headquarters to check in. And the first thing she asks Lachlan is, "Have you seen the suit?" He's confused. "What suit?" The exec tells him. Lachlan immediately hangs up and calls James. The executive wasn't referring to something someone was wearing. She was talking about a lawsuit. Roger Ailes, the longtime CEO of Fox News, has just been sued for sexual harassment by one of the network's former anchors, Gretchen Carlson. Mm. Now, as we've talked about, the Murdoch bros don't agree on hardly anything at this point. Well, except how much they like the billionaire summer camp. But they do agree on what to do about Ailes. Launch an internal investigation and get rid of him. Quietly. They don't want Rupert getting involved. They want this mess to go away before it blows up. And they know how loyal Rupert is to Ailes. The two of them built Fox News together, and Rupert has always let Ailes do pretty much whatever he wants. They don't want to give their dad the room to let him off the hook. At least that's what people speculated later.
Yeah, because then they'd really have a scandal on their hands, and the Sky deal could be in jeopardy because Rupert turned a blind eye.
Exactly. By mid-July, the Murdochs get the first findings from the internal investigation, and they aren't good. James says they should fire Ailes then and there. By now, of course, Rupert knows everything and it's his call, and he wants to wait. The Republican convention is a few days away, and he doesn't want this messing up Fox's coverage. And, surprise, surprise, guess who takes Rupert's side? Mr. Daddy Always Knows Best, Lachlan. So they wait. On the day the Republican convention ends, Rupert summons Ailes to lunch at his apartment. The last supper between business partners. Although Ailes doesn't know this yet.
I always prefer breaking up over text.
And how's that worked out for you?
Beautifully.
That's why you're single.
Yeah.
It's your choice.
Yeah.
Rupert wants their relationship to end on a friendly note. So they're sitting in the dining room overlooking Madison Square Park. Lachlan's there too, along with a few lawyers. And then Rupert breaks the news. He offers his friend $40 million in severance in exchange for going quietly. Ailes isn't happy, but he agrees. He suggests they head over to the newsroom and break it to the staff together. But Rupert is done. I need to do this, and I need to do it myself.
So in the end, Rupert takes responsibility for the situation.
It was the best decision for the company. They all knew that. Now they just have to hope the way they handled it impresses the UK regulators. The boys are already thinking about who each of them would like installed in Ailes' former position. But Rupert has other ideas. He decides to take the job himself. Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank?
Literally always.
Okay, well, the new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look, and it comes in luxe gold packaging. It feels incredibly high-end, but it is a lot more affordable.
Oh yeah, the Panorama Mascara lives up to its name by giving your lashes panoramic volume and a fully fanned-out look. Its tapered mascara wand catches every single lash, including those hard-to-reach corner lashes.
When I do wear makeup, I do the bare minimum, and that's usually eyeliner and mascara and lip gloss. Yeah. And so mascara has to really pop.
Yes.
And let me tell you, L'Oreal, this baby pops.
Yeah. I do love the packaging. Like, I'm all about that.
So if you're looking for an affordable mascara that gives you voluminous, lengthened lashes, you can buy the Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
So as a listener of Even the Rich, you know that audio piques the imagination, which is why we're so excited for Audible's new collection of exclusive thrillers. They feature captivating sound design, eerie soundscapes, and dynamic performances that really bring the story to life.
Oh, yeah. The next listen on my list is the psychological thriller, The Silent Patient.
Ooh.
So it's all about a therapist who tries to unravel the mystery of a woman who refuses to talk or give any explanation as to why she shot her husband. I mean, it's going to be the perfect binge listen, and you know I love my thrillers.
I can agree. And as an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog.
Yeah, new members can try Audible now free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/eventherich or text eventherich to 500-500.
That's audible.com/eventherich or text eventherich to 500-500 to get started. So despite the fact that Rupert Murdoch is in his mid-80s, he decides it's a good time to take a demanding new job as the head of Fox News.
Can you imagine how pissed you'd be if you were James and Lachlan? This is what Rupert always does. He acts like he trusts them to do stuff on their own, and then it turns out he doesn't trust them at all because he wants to be in charge.
Mm-hmm, exactly. For Rupert, it's like a new lease on life. He's back at the center of the action again, and he's having the time of his life.
Has he never heard of golf?
Right. If Rupert has any downtime, he spends it at home with his new wife.
Wife number four, right?
Yes.
Jerry.
Jerry Hall, yep. Former model and actress and wife of Mick Jagger, who is the father of her four kids, who are now grown up. She's blonde and beautiful and 25 years younger than Rupert.
So it's safe to say he has a type.
Yes. Also, fun fact, she may have been one of the News of the World's first phone hacking victims.
Oh, apparently she forgave him.
Yeah, they dated for 5 months before tying the knot. For once, the kids actually approve of Rupert's wife. The couple really seem to be in love. All six of them show up at the wedding, even Prue.
Wow.
Grace and Chloe, Rupert's kids with Wendy Dang, are bridesmaids. Lachlan and James are groomsmen. And of course, the announcement appears on page 6 of Rupert's beloved New York Post.
So the brothers are now partners in business, mm-hmm. Rupert's in love, and the family's back together again. It's a happy ending after all.
Well, there's never a happy ending when you're rich. But things are about to get even more exciting because a new player is about to enter this story.
Prudence.
Stop with Prudence. She's in Australia and she's happy. Leave her out of it. Okay, I'll give you a hint. I could shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue and they'd still vote for me.
Trump.
You got it. Is that because I was so good?
Yeah. I literally froze because I was like, oh my God.
I know.
He's here.
I can't wait for the Twitter, Instagram feedback on that one. Murdoch's New York Post was a huge part of building the Trump mythology when he was a 1980s New York real estate tycoon. Now, Trump is looking for help on a bigger stage. In early 2015, Rupert Murdoch gets a call. It's Ivanka Trump, and she wants Rupert to have lunch with her dad. Of course, Rupert's known Donald for years, so Rupert thinks, sure, why not? Rupert wants to meet on his turf, so he suggests the corporate dining room at Fox News. Trump's fine with that. He has an agenda, and he needs Rupert's help. So they're enjoying the soup course when Trump blurts it out. Guess what, Rupert? I'm running for president. Trump's been building support in conservative politics for a few years now, and the subtext of his announcement is, I'm sure Fox News will be delighted to throw their might behind my campaign. Trump knows if he's going to win, he'll need their help. But Rupert doesn't even look up from his bowl. He says, you have to be prepared to be wrapped up badly.
Like Lil Yachty?
It's an Australian expression for getting kicked around. Basically, Rupert doesn't think Trump has a chance.
The rest of that lunch must have been pretty awkward.
In 2015, Rupert knows Trump may be good at getting TV ratings, but he's not taking the guy seriously. One newspaper says Rupert didn't see Trump as a serious person or as a credible presidential candidate. Remember, at this point, basically no one believed Trump had a chance at becoming president.
Mm-hmm.
And Rupert's already planning to throw his support behind Jeb Bush. He seemed like a safe choice with his family pedigree and experience in office. But as the primary season goes along, something happens that Rupert didn't see coming, because no one saw it coming. Trump emerges as the front runner. And that's when Rupert thinks back to that awkward lunch date. He wonders, maybe I was wrong about Donald.
If there's one thing Rupert knows, it's how to get on the winning team.
But Rupert doesn't make any sudden moves. Not yet. He's going to watch and see how things unfold. But Trump's impatient. He expects praise and airtime from Fox News now that he's winning. And he throws a tantrum whenever his old pal Rupert doesn't deliver. He complains that Fox is giving better coverage to his Republican rivals. Every Friday night, Fox News runs a segment called Candidate Casino, where the host predicts who will win, and it's never Trump.
As a guy who once owned a bunch of casinos, that must have hurt.
Oh, yeah. But he fires back. When a Fox contributor calls Trump a clown, he sends Fox a copy of his resume with a big note written across it in black Sharpie saying, no clown could have done all this.
Exactly. A clown would have used a magic marker instead of a Sharpie.
But Rupert starts changing his tune when Trump keeps winning state primaries. By the time Trump secures the nomination, the two of them are talking every day. It's a marriage of convenience. Rupert gives Trump airtime on Fox News, and in return, Trump delivers sky-high ratings. Now, don't start thinking they're best buds. According to reporter Michael Wolff, Rupert still doesn't like Trump very much. He complains, I can't get that asshole off the phone. He calls Trump a fucking idiot in private, but he puts up with him, even when Trump calls him Rupee.
Oh yeah, Rupert must hate that. I hate that.
We all hate that. But come Inauguration Day, there's at least one Murdoch who's not so happy with the way the family business is supporting the controversial new president. James. James can't stand the way Fox News has embraced Trump. Remember, James is a lot more liberal than his dad, so he's pissed when Trump issues a ban on immigration for people from several predominantly Muslim countries. He wants the family to write a strongly worded letter expressing support for their Muslim employees around the world. But Rupert and Lachlan are afraid of pissing off their biggest ratings grabber. They do eventually agree to write a watered-down letter, not good enough for James. After Trump makes his infamous comment about the neo-Nazi rally in Charlottesville.
You mean when he said a bunch of white supremacists were fine people?
Yeah, that's the one. James writes an open letter condemning Trump's response, and he doesn't bother to tell Rupert or Lachlan before he publishes it. In the letter, James writes, I can't even believe I have to write this. Standing up to Nazis is essential. There are no good Nazis or Klansmen. Or terrorists.
That should be a pretty uncontroversial stance.
Yeah, you'd think. But his father and brother believe it's good business for Fox to stay in Trump's good graces. And James knows that. But he thinks, fuck that. I think he's probably wondering if he wants to work with them at all.
Time for a trip to Indonesia for another meditation retreat?
Nope. To the University of Cambridge to do damage control about another issue Fox is dealing with.
Thanks very much. And good morning, everyone. It's really great to be here. And thanks especially to Sarah.
In September 2017, James is delivering the keynote address at a media convention in Cambridge. He's got a lot to deal with. Remember how a year ago he and his family shoved out Roger Ailes? They hoped that if they did it quickly, they could avoid further scrutiny of their corporate culture. But that plan went to shit when a new wave of sexual abuse allegations emerged, this time against anchor Bill O'Reilly. Now their bid to take over Sky is looking like less and less of a sure thing. So this speech in Britain is a chance for James to make the company look as good as possible to the people who have the authority to approve the all-important Sky deal.
Companies have to mean something to their communities, to their customers, and to their shareholders.
James focuses on popular feel-good brands like National Geographic and Fox Sports. He says Fox has explored the opioid epidemic, gender identity, and race relations, and told powerful stories of slavery in America, the rights of women in Pakistan, and the coming and inevitable exploration of Mars.
He's laying it on pretty thick.
Yeah. But after his talk, James sits down for a Q&A with journalist Sarah Sands from the BBC, and she's not letting him off the hook. Take a look at this and watch James's face.
I wonder if the message that comes through that, the problem in the end, is that you presided over this rotten culture at News International and again at Fox News, and that people just don't trust you. Is that what you think the message is of that?
Remind me never to cross this woman.
And that's just the first question.
He looks like he wants to run away.
James tells the reporter that it's only a few people who are opposed to his father's takeover of Sky.
Can we just do a sort of quick show of hands in the audience of who thinks that this deal should go through?
James watches nervously. A few hands go up.
Would you say half there?
Way more than half.
Well, however many it is, it's not enough. In January 2018, the British government shoots down the deal. It's a big blow to the Murdochs. Without the Sky deal, Rupert's not sure how the company can compete with all the new players getting into the content business. There's Apple, Amazon, Netflix, Facebook, Google. These companies have sky-high stock prices, more money than they know what to do with, and a direct line into billions of customers and their habits. So with the Sky deal dead, the Murdoch family blame game begins. Lachlan says James screwed up the deal. James says Lachlan encouraged the rotten company culture that doomed it. But Rupert, who, by the way, I've noticed people use the word wily a lot to describe him.
Like Wile E. Coyote?
Yeah, he's wily. And as he realizes Sky isn't going to happen, he's got one more totally unexpected trick up his sleeve.
Life is busier than ever. It might be harder to find time these days to grocery shop, prep, and cook healthy and hearty meals. I get it. But Factor's got you covered.
Yeah, so Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, delivered right to your door, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes.
Exactly. And Factor is tailored to your schedule. You can customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. If you're traveling or still finishing up last week's meals, you can always pause or reschedule deliveries.
I mean, I know I've talked before about how much I love Factor because it's just so easy.
And it doesn't taste like, you know, the microwavable yes. meals you see, especially in rom-coms when we're trying to heighten and highlight how sad and pathetic this woman's life is.
Yeah.
They don't taste like that. They taste so good as if you made them yourself or hired a chef. Head to factormeals.com/rich50 and use code rich50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box. That's code rich50 at factormeals.com/rich50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
We all face stress in our daily lives. What if the answer to a better stress response is in one key nutrient? I'm talking about magnesium, and specifically Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. This one-of-a-kind product is designed to reverse low levels of magnesium, which could have a positive effect on our stress response. But don't take my word for it. Here's a quote from a 2020 issue of the scientific journal Nutrients. results suggest that stress could increase magnesium loss, causing a deficiency. And in turn, magnesium deficiency could enhance the body's susceptibility to stress, resulting in a magnesium and stress vicious circle. I only recommend Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. It's the only organic full-spectrum magnesium supplement that includes 7 unique forms of magnesium for stress resilience and better sleep. Simply go to bioptimizers.com/ifstories, promo code ifstories10 to get your Magnesium Breakthrough and find out this month's gift with purchase. That's bioptimizers.com/ifstories, promo code ifstories10.
It's August 2017, and Rupert is in Los Angeles, at Moraga, specifically. His 14-acre vineyard, tucked away in the Santa Monica Mountains above Bel Air. It's the only vineyard in Los Angeles city limits.
Didn't we once valet cars there?
Yeah, I wish. Rupert is gazing out over his rolling acres of Cab and Merlot grapes. And he's got a very special guest with him. You could argue he's standing with one of the only media titans who wields more power than he does. Bob Iger, the CEO of Disney.
Hang on, isn't Disney like major competition?
Yeah, to say the least. I mean, if you think Rupert's been on a spending spree, it's nothing compared to Bob Iger at Disney. Iger didn't build Disney from scratch, but Iger had a pretty ridiculous run. He started as a weatherman in upstate New York, then worked his way up through ABC and Disney until he was in charge. He's 20 years younger than Rupert. Handsome, charming, well-liked. And in the past decade, he's made deals for Disney to buy Pixar, Marvel Studios, and the entire Star Wars universe. Disney also owns ABC and ESPN, and of course, all the theme parks, resorts, cruises.
Okay, is Rupert getting a little jealous?
Bob Iger's not there for an empire measuring contest. He has a proposition for Rupert. Iger wants Disney to buy most of 21st Century Fox, particularly the TV and movie studios.
Wow. Usually Rupert's the one making aggressive takeover bids.
Yeah, Rupert's entire career has been all bye-bye-bye. Bye-bye-bye. And he's been all about leaving his empire for his children. But it hasn't turned out how Rupert imagined it would. Liz got fed up and walked away. Lachlan and James are locked in an endless power struggle. Not helpful when the Murdoch Empire is up against tougher competition than ever. And let's face it, Rupert hasn't exactly been willing to step aside and make room for his kids.
And isn't he tired? He's pushing 90.
Don't count him out just yet. Rupert's a schemer. As he sips his wine, maybe he's imagining what the future could look like if he accepts Iger's offer. I mean, sure, he'd lose the film studios, but Rupert would still have his newspapers and Fox News. He'd still have his political influence, and he'd still have something to leave Lachlan. So maybe Iger's onto something after all. When Rupert goes back and tells his kids about the proposal, that Disney basically wants to take over Fox, James loves the idea. He starts scheduling lunch dates with Bob Iger, basically angling for a big job at Disney.
Okay, wait, so James is willing to let Lachlan take over the family business now?
The family business will be small potatoes if that deal goes through. Add together Disney and 21st Century Fox, and you've got the largest media conglomerate in the entire world. If James can be part of that, he'll be way more powerful than little old Lachlan.
That probably cools the sting a little.
Lachlan doesn't share his brother's excitement. Did he spend his entire life fighting to inherit his father's empire just for his dad to go give it all away? Rupert's having dinner with Lachlan one night when he gets a call from Disney. As the old man goes to answer his phone, Lachlan shouts, "If you take one more call on this deal, you will not have a son. I will never talk to you again."
Oh my God.
I mean, he'll still have a son.
I know. Just, like, he has
another one.
Don't answer that.
According to the New York Times, Lachlan even secretly tries to sabotage the deal by encouraging one of Disney's rivals to make a counter bid for Fox. James isn't afraid to play dirty either. James was trying to lock down an important role at Disney, even if it meant selling out his dad in the process. That's what the New York Times said. Both brothers denied there were any such shenanigans. It was in the middle of all of this that Rupert takes his late night fall on the yacht.
Oh my God, that's right. When all of his kids rushed to his bedside, hoping the time had finally come, for Rupert to name his successor?
Yeah, not happening. Rupert's back to work again almost immediately. But the thought is on everyone's minds. How much longer is Rupert going to be around? After months of negotiations, Disney pays $71 billion for their piece of the empire.
No grueling review by the government to approve the merger this time?
Nope. The Justice Department approves the deal in record time. It probably didn't hurt that Trump was all for it. He even called to congratulate Rupert before the deal went through.
Wow. $71 billion. That is a huge price tag on Rupee's empire.
Rupert personally makes $4 billion from the Disney deal, bringing his net worth to $18 billion. All six of his children get $2 billion each, plus a little extra for Lachlan and James.
You can get so many really nice, artful tattoos with $2 billion in change.
The company that's left is called Fox Corporation. It includes Fox News, The Wall Street Journal, The New York Post, and a bunch of other papers around the world. And the CEO is... Drumroll, please. Okay, maybe not the drumroll. Lachlan Murdoch.
And James?
In the end, James doesn't find a place for himself at Disney. He takes his $2 billion and leaves.
Wow. After all of that, Lachlan wins.
Yep, Lachlan wins. It's a smaller kingdom, but he's the one on the throne.
So Lachlan didn't walk after all.
Oh, no. I think when all is said and done, what Lachlan wanted most was his dad's approval. James, Liz, and Prue all offer to sell their shares back to Rupert and Lachlan. Father and son would own the company themselves, and everyone else would be free to go. Rupert loves the idea. He draws up the documents, but at the last minute, Lachlan backs out.
Why?
He says he can't afford it. But I think some part of him wasn't ready to see the family break apart for good. It's like Liz said, they always have each other. But in 2020, James does something major. Wildfires are raging across Australia, and anchors on Murdoch-owned networks insist that climate change has nothing to do with it. James thinks that's bullshit, and he says so publicly. It's an extraordinary move for a Murdoch, going against the family business like that. One News Corp exec says, they are pissing inside the tent, and that's unusual. It's evidence of how high tensions are within the family over climate change.
I could have done without that metaphor.
Remember all those carefully guarded interviews over the years?
Mm-hmm.
Even when the family is clearly at each other's throats, to the outside world, they've always tried to watch their words.
So it's got to be tough for the rest of the family to keep their mouths shut when the youngest kid is making a stand.
It is, but they do. Prue, of course, refuses to comment. Like always, she keeps her distance from the Murdoch family drama. A reporter calls Liz and asks her opinion on climate change. She hangs up on them. She's done getting dragged into her brother's fights. She's busy with other things, including a brand new production company called Sister.
Ooh, interesting name choice.
She says it's a reference to the fact that she and the other women she founded it with always have each other's backs.
That must be nice for a change.
Her brothers can snipe at each other till they're old and gray. She's moved on. As for James, he was inspired by the whole climate change controversy. If his family's business is causing problems, he figures he can be a force for good. So he's been investing in new ventures, like startups that promise to take on fake news.
They'll have work for years.
Yeah, they will. And for Rupert and Lachlan, it's back to the old days. Father and son working together in a scrappy, aggressive newsroom, even if there are no ink stains on their fingers anymore.
Gotta say, love him or hate him, it is impressive what Rupert Murdoch has built.
It's true. In the 1950s, Rupert vowed he was going to be so rich and so powerful that no one could touch him. Now he's almost 90 years old. After four wives, six children, nine presidents, and a media empire that spanned the globe, maybe he'll finally, I don't know, take up golf, or at least Sudoku. When Rupert's dad, Sir Keith, died, he wrote in his will, "I desire that my son Rupert shall have great opportunity of spending a useful, altruistic, and full life in newspaper and broadcasting activities, and of ultimately occupying a position of high responsibility." Rupert's old man wanted greatness for his son. And Rupert wanted that for his kids, too.
but he ended up selling off half his empire instead of leaving it to his kids.
Well, I can't help but wonder if deep down, Rupert knew that they wouldn't be able to top him.
Or never really wanted them to.
Maybe that's why he left the succession question unanswered for so long. Maybe that's why he sold off most of his empire before he finally let go of the reins. Because there's only one Rupert Murdoch. Brilliant, conniving, all-powerful, wily. Remember that newspaper editor who said Rupert was never going to die?
Mm-hmm.
That dude was right. I mean, yes, of course, Rupert is going to die, but he hasn't yet. And his influence, his legacy, that will be with us for a long, long time. This is the final episode of our four-part series, The Real Life Succession. We use many sources when researching our stories, like Vanity Fair and The New Yorker, and yes, a few of the sorts of tabloids that Rupert would approve of. We especially recommend the Planet Fox series that ran in The New York Times Magazine. There's a link in our show notes. We also recommend two books, Rupert Murdoch, The Untold Story of the World's Greatest Media Wizard by Neil Chenoweth, and The Man Who Owns the News by Michael Wolff. I'm Brooke Ziffrin.
And I'm Arisha Skidmore-Williams. Summer Block wrote this episode. Our audio engineer is Sergio Enriquez. Our producer on this series was Caleb Bissinger. Our associate producer is Kate Young. And our senior producers are Ben Gray and Natalie Shisha. Sound design by Marcelino Villapando. Our executive producers are Stephanie Jens, Jenny Lauer-Beckman, and Marsha Louie for Wondery.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect forever.